Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, it's morning. It's 11:48.
Sorry. Morning. Yeah. Two little points here I got. Now, we had some bad weather for a couple of days, and I've heard the people with the water sports and so forth on two different occasions. I've heard one man saying he lost over $500,000, and another one saying it's about $300,000 he lost. Roughly speaking, it come up about nearly $1 million or around $1 million in 3 days. You know, I wonder if that will reflect in the taxation, in the taxes. I wonder if that will reflect. Well, that's a lot of money, and that can't be no small businessman losing $1 million in 3 days. You know, that's a lot of money. You know, and I remember, I'm old enough, and I guess you're old enough to remember in the first Carry Fest we had here, that is what caused the minibuses up to now to be in such taxations when the great JMG Adams did, Tom Adams, they want to rank them, charge them, and they laugh at him and say, I ain't no money. And when he put on taxes, under the cray. So I would guess water sports people, they might buy this week early, but they might got it to deal with.
Well, but you know that this is much bigger than that. This also brings us back to possibly the effects of this global warming. I mean, people who have been watching this spring tide are telling me that it's one of the roughest that they've seen in years. And its impact on the coasts of not only Barbados, I mean, several countries are facing this as a challenge right now, but looking at our country, there are times when we go through it and the beaches come back and that sort of thing. But we have to look critically at the degree to which the situation may be getting worse and what does that imply for the properties that are along the coast of the country.
Yeah, but I were persistently dealing with the income that the water sports people say they were pulling in the past 3-4 days. And the court figures, and they were quoting like somewhere like $300,000. One man was quoting, next man was there over $500,000. I don't know if you listen to your use, because I listen to your use all the time. Anyhow, I will move on from there. I think, but I would prefer to hit the Dennis with this one, because I know Dennis have an eyes for this. But I called Dennis one time and I told him, I see what. And I refer to the late Prime Minister when he said he was turning into a cash cow. And I see, and I told Dennis, so he kind of agreed with me. And driving past there, for the majority of this year, I've been watching a call. We had, every day, including today, we were very busy down the port side. And David, in the name of God, I cannot understand why that stretch on the beach side is just serious. I'm saying with the amount of tourist boats we have in daily, we should have a curtailment down there when tourist boats is in from about 10 till 6. And I'm told there are people who just stand there, drink and eat, but we are complaining the tourist is not spending no money. We want the tourist to go up top and buy a watch that he could get for like nearly 60, 80 US dollars less in the Virgin Islands or St. Croix or something like that. I am saying that we could entertain the tourists off the boats on that stretch, and it don't have to be one body. It could be like 12 different stalls and music, and people will just line there to the boat ready to sail and go back home on that boat. I remember the days of the Jolly Rogers, how people used to come off the Jolly Rogers. And I cannot understand how nobody in authority could see that that's a waste stretch.
Okay, well, let's get some other views. Thank you very much. Well, there's some pieces of reaction here to what has just taken place here with the minister giving his comment and all of that. This person says here that it was highly noticeable how the minister just now tried to drown you out when you were making the point about the government's hurry to bring legislation at this time. Clearly, he was trying to drown out the absolute truth. These amendments to the Road Traffic Act were to be brought since July last year. But no, Now they have hurried it through Parliament without it having been clearly thought through. There is no doubt about that. The same thing happened in 2013 with the Employment Rights Act, and in many ways, that is a mess, says this writer. I draw your attention also to this point here. When you heard the minister talk about the intent of the legislation, this comment is relevant. It says, in law, the legislative intent of the legislature in enacting legislation may sometimes be considered by the judiciary when interpreting the law, such as judicial interpretation. The courts have repeatedly held that when a statute is clear and unambiguous, the inquiry into legislative intent ends at that point. Now, really, somebody asked the question in one of the texts that I got, whether it isn't for the courts to decide what the legislative intent was. Here you have a situation where the law is on the statute books. The people who are supposed to enforce the law interpret it a particular way based upon how it is written. But then the minister says that he has had to call them to spell out to them what the intent was. The people who deal with law are the ones who need to guide us through this particular maze and tell us to what extent this is considered to be the normal practice, that you have a piece of legislation, it is interpreted by those on the front line one way, but then a minister and or anybody else at a different level can come to them and say, well, it may be written this way, but you need to take into consideration what the intent was. If that is the intent, as far as I'm concerned, should really be captured in the way it is written. So there is a weakness there, which I suppose we need to hear a little bit more about. It's a learning curve, I would submit. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Oh, dear. There are so many questions, but the answers. The answers are there, but people don't want to see the answers, right? I want to say for a long time that God and man are the same, or man and his God are the same. That is why there's so much confusion. That is why leaders, people in high authority, can do the kind of things that they do. For whatever they do, that means that their God agrees with them. That means there's no spirituality to God. But man has lost his spirituality. That is where he has fallen from. And he has become now like a beast. And he is ruling over mankind with that kind of strong-fisted thing that he wants to bring man under his control. I would like to put out a warning to the electorate of Barbados. Remember the last election? There was a man of the cloth that was brought into, I don't know if it was a group or not. I wasn't that interested. But something caught my eye and I became kind of interested in it. Watch the religious persons next election.
Okay, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello. 4341790. We've got quite a number of people backed up here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, Mr. Dallas. Good
afternoon. Listen, something is wrong. Your phone isn't, your line isn't good.
You're hearing me well now?
A bit better, yes.
Okay. Mr. Dallas, good afternoon. My name is Sean Holder. I'm going to be very transparent this afternoon.
Yes, you're the former policeman.
Yeah, former policeman, former traffic reporter on your on your radio station.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was quite heartened to hear the minister explain the confusion that was taking place in the past 24 hours. But go even further, a step further, Mr. Ellis. The legislation as it stands right now, the amendments as it stands right now, even though I may not agree with everything that this government has done, this legislation is absolutely clear. All people need to do is to read the legislation carefully, and they will see that. For example, the definition of the word drive in the Act, according to the regulator, according to the Act now, in relation to a motor vehicle, having control over the steering, movement, and propulsion of that motor vehicle. If you look at the road, the regulation that covers, that governs the cell phone use, it says no person, you're prohibited from driving or operating a vehicle on the road while using the cell phone. You can do it in hands-free mode. However, if you put your vehicle over to the side of the road and you put that vehicle in park and engage the handbrake, certainly there's no steering of that vehicle. Certainly there's no movement of that vehicle. And obviously there's no propulsion of that vehicle. If, however, you are driving your car and you come to the traffic signal, the traffic light, and you put your foot on the brake and I figure out, okay, I'm not moving, I'm going to use my vehicle, you're still operating that vehicle. You're deemed to be operating that vehicle because you have control over the steering.
But you
have control over its movement because your foot is on the brake. And you have control over its propulsion.
So hold on. Clearly.
Hello?
Clearly, there is some ambiguity about this
thing. There's no ambiguity, Mr. Ellis.
It's not to you. Because if I listen to what... Just hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. You have members of the police force meeting with the media yesterday and stating quite categorically that this is the position. You are a former policeman, and you look at the same legislation, and you have a different interpretation. So if that is happening, clearly there is ambiguity. Now,
the interpretation I'm using are not my personal ones. I'm using the interpretation which are given by the definitions in the Act. What happened? What happened yesterday is a personal opinion. I'm not giving my personal opinion.
I cannot sit here and accept that when the police spoke yesterday, because I listened back to that and I heard two policemen speaking on this. But on what basis can I say that it was a personal view?
Mr. Ellis, if you look at the Act, for example, even carriageway is described as the part of the highway that is improved and designed to carry vehicle traffic, and it does not include the shoulder of the road. Under the Act, that definition is given to carriageway. So from the onset, if you put your vehicle over on the shoulder of the road, you're not deemed to be on the highway anymore. It's as simple as that. Carriageway is defined in the Act. If you're going to look at the person being the driver of the vehicle, now the broad term driver refers to a person who has control or is in charge of a vehicle. And if you're going to use the broad term driver, any person who has the control of a stationary vehicle, if you're going to park your car in town, Mr. Ellis, or your car in your car park, as you will be, and use your cell phone, you can be reported then because you are still the driver. But the people who drafted this legislation were so deliberate that they actually said driving or operating, which are verbs. You are driving the vehicle or you're operating the vehicle. And therefore, they do not use the term the driver of the vehicle. They say the person who is actually driving the vehicle.
I saw that in the post that you gave.
I come back
to my position. Even the minister seems to recognize.
No. The minister wants.
But let me finish, correct. No? Please. Let me finish.
Go ahead and finish, Ms. Ellen.
Even the minister seems to recognize that the wording of that particular part of the statute requires clarification as to what the intent was, which means there is a recognition of ambiguity. Agreed? Would you accept that? He says it was not the intent. This is the intent. All right? So when he comes and says that,
He first said that there's nothing in law in the legislation that supports what the police said yesterday. Mr. Ellis, if you go through the Road Traffic Act, you will see that they constantly refer to the person who's driving who's the driver.
Policemen and lawyers. That's why they got the law courts there.
Mr. Ellis, for this section, they have specifically and deliberately said the person who's driving or operating is a vast difference between a driver. And it's also spelled out in the definitions at the front. There's a difference between the person who is driving and the driver. It is a driving offense, not a driver offense.
Look.
And that is absolutely clear.
Look, I'm not a lawyer. And this is in a law court. All I am is a normal citizen recognizing that a piece of legislation has been put here. And all sorts of confusion now exists over the interpretation of it. And it is not fair for you to say, as you said earlier, with all due respect, I don't think it's fair to them, and I couldn't say of you, that the only your interpretation is just a personal thing. They've gone on the basis of what they have seen, and they have... Yes, sir.
They have not left it to anyone's interpretation. They have clearly defined what those terms mean. And if you apply the definition of the terms which are given in the Act to what the regulation actually says, it is clear.
This person says here, look, as far as I know, a minister doesn't interpret law for the police force. Interpretation is, to the best of my legal knowledge, a matter for the courts. The police can still charge based on the letter of the law. The only way that might change is if a directive on a particular provision is emanated from the top brass saying that we won't charge for this or we won't charge for that. This is what somebody is saying to us here.
Mr. Ellen, driving and operating a vehicle is a motion offense, is a driving offense. Being the driver of a vehicle is totally different than driving a vehicle. The Act itself does not leave it up to your interpretation or impression of what is driving or what is a driver. They actually tell you who is a driver and who is considered to be driving. They are two separate and distinct things all together. That is why they have been deliberate to put in this section that no person should be driving or operating a vehicle like that. If you're under the influence of alcohol, you don't have to be driving that vehicle. You have to be the driver of that vehicle. You can be in a bar and be under the influence and be arrested and charged for being the driver or under the influence. However, if you're going to use that broad term, if I'm in a bar and still being the driver of a vehicle, I use my cell phone, I should be reported. But that's not so. They have gone on to say driving means being the person who's in charge of the steering, movement, and propulsion of the vehicle. That is absolutely, it's so clear, it's unbelievable. It's really sad to see that people are going to say the legislation is flawed because of they don't want to see the definitions as given in the Act. Do not use your personal interpretation. Use the definition that is there in the Act and apply it to the regulation. It's absolutely clear.
Well, I would have thought that the police force that has so many lawyers in it would have examined this carefully before police officers would come to the public with the position that they did.
That's what makes it so sad, Mr. Ellis. I would have thought so, too.
Anyhow, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello, welcome to the program. Absolute confusion has been created over this matter.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent. Yes, ma'am. You on the air?
Good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you keeping today?
I'm okay, and you?
Yeah, not too bad. I haven't talked about the bicycles. I feel that there should give a bicycle gentleman as a deadline to when to get your helmet.
Okay.
Because if the gentleman's trying to work to get to work, to make an honest dollar, and you don't have a helmet, and you're trying to work to get the helmet and before then, we can get you $300 trying to pay the court. So I feel they should give him a deadline to when to get the helmet. That was it. Should be.
Okay.
Just start off, because everybody cannot get money to buy a helmet.
How much a helmet costs these days? Graham Vaughn rides a motorcycle. How much a helmet costs, approximately?
I don't even
know
the bicycle.
Those motorcycle helmets are considerably more expensive. The bicycle helmets tend to be between $50 to $100.
$50 to $100.
Yeah. But I mean to say that they could give these bicycle men a deadline to get the helmets. And if the dog gets more return, then they could take chances. But if they just drop this thing, you know, they can't just lock up people to just that so because they have to go to work. To get in mind of what you have, mate.
Okay. Somebody has expressed that view, too.
I don't feel that it's right. Because
okay.
I have some people that where they're working, something don't be in the bathroom, and they have to work there. And these days, they can't get in the bathroom and want it. So I just give them a deadline. And if they give them a deadline, they don't get there, they can take a chance. I feel that should be that way.
Okay. Thank
you
very
have a
much.
Better day.
This legislation says here, 148B1. No person shall drive or operate a vehicle on a road or a highway while at the same time using, holding, viewing, or manipulating a radio communication device, a portable electronic device, or a wireless device which is capable of receiving or transmitting telephone communication, electronic data, electronic mail, or text messages. A person who contravenes paragraph 1 is guilty of an offense and is liable on summary conviction to a fine of $2,000 or to imprisonment for a term of 18 months or to both. 3. For the purposes of this regulation and regulation 148D, a portable electronic device includes 1. A personal digital assistant, 2. A handheld device with mobile data access capability, a laptop computer, and a pager. Okay? This is down to brass tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. Yeah. 3 points I want to make quickly. In relation to the same cell phone app, it disregards the use of headphones, headsets, and only allows for the use of Bluetooth communication.
Yes.
In the regards to using audio cable from your phone to the said vehicle's audio system, would that be allowed? 1. And then 2, the bicycle helmets, that is a no-brainer because that's first your safety that is being protected by the law. Some people don't take their safety into very high regard for some reason.
The people that I've heard haven't disputed that, you know. What they're saying is that just imposing it for them almost like overnight is what they dispute. They say, you know, people should have been given a little time to have this come into effect. That's the only issue that I've heard on that.
Okay. And the last point would be the people that park on the side of the road in Baxter's Road, if you're coming from the side of Kensington Oval, once you're approaching the stoplights, I know there are people there that sell food at night. And I found that at times, you have 6 to 10 cars parked on the side of the road, which is actually blocking the lane. And then I have to cross over the road, which is also crossing a solid line, to get to the traffic lights. And sometimes there's lots of confusion when there's traffic coming the opposite direction. It's a bit of hit and miss. And I see this all across the island where people just park indiscriminately on the side of the road and all down by the globe, where people either have to walk in the middle of the road to avoid the cars, and traffic also has to avoid those vehicles, putting themselves in danger. So if possible, I'm not sure if that is against the law or if it could be enforced, that people that are parked on the side of the roads are reported and charged for impeding pedestrian traffic and also motor vehicle traffic.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll just put out there for somebody to answer.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yes, I'm listening here to this program. But what is all the confusion about? I want to find out. Now, the only confusion that was created by the misinterpretation of the two officers yesterday. Wouldn't you agree?
I would say it was created by the interpretation of the two officers yesterday. Whether it's a misinterpretation, I am not. At this stage, the very intervention by the minister says that it is quite possible for people to have that interpretation. And that's why he spells out what the intent of Parliament was.
Absolutely. But he made it quite, as a matter of fact, what reinforced the interpretation and the intent of the law was the former police officer who just spoke. He met me. He was pellucid. And went further what it was, the whole act and the amendments were to do to remedy the mischief. I mean, the only misinterpretation and confusion came about because of the two police officers yesterday. As a matter of fact, when I heard it last night, I said this is going to create all kind of nonsense. And it has.
It certainly has.
The officers should really have gone to their legal advisor or whoever it is to get a
perfect Come on. Please, you can't sit there and assume that they didn't. I don't think you should.
But how could they have interpreted it in that way?
But how could they have? But clearly they have done so. And for them, obviously, there must be some sense of ambiguity associated with that aspect of the legislation.
But a blind man on a trotting horse, for the time there's those words fell from their mouths, what I would have known, the average fellow, the layman, but no, that what their interpretation cannot be the interpretation. I cannot understand it.
You've seen the actual part of the legislation?
I have seen it, yes. I have seen it. As a matter of fact, the police officer who called, he was right on point. It explains what it means in the law about the propulsion and the handling of the vehicle. Could these two officers have done that?
I don't know. First of all, I think that you are not doing the right thing in the way that you are dealing with the two officers. Because what you are setting out to do is to separate these two officers from the force itself. And I don't think that's fair. I would expect that these two officers have come to the public after there was a lot of internal discussion on this matter. And surely, they cannot be reflecting just their opinions on this matter. It would have had to be a position which has been taken by the police high command coming out of their discussions. So don't take these two officers and put them out there on a limb so that they can be crucified by people who want to suggest that they have been poor in interpreting the law and that sort of thing. I don't think that's the way that you should deal with this particular matter at all.
But wouldn't that be your conclusion, Mr. Ellis?
No, there's not. I haven't come to that conclusion because from where I sit, I'm saying so much confusion has been created over this. I need to get a little bit more information here on this right now. I've heard the two sides, and I don't want to go beyond saying, having heard these two sides on this matter, let us explore where we are with it. Does it stop police officers, another police officer down the road from saying, look, I go with the police high command says, and you can get stopped in those circumstances today or tomorrow? Does it? Because the minister says it's the intent?
Not so sure. But they need to get it right.
Okay. I got to leave you right now because we're getting ready for the latest. Down to brass tacks, going until 1 o'clock today. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Right. I'm just running a debate here about this new legislation or the amendment. And I wanted to ask you first where you found the confusion. Because you said, well, we know that there's confusion. But where you personally found that it was confusing? I mean, after listening to the ex-police officer who really explained it clearly, and even the minister too, do you still find in your mind that there was actually confusion or need for confusion?
Let's not waste my time with that. Bottom line is that out of all of this,
We have
had a state of confusion. If you want to find out whether I am still confused, that's a different matter. But let us recognize this. The police put out a statement. A whole set of people in Barbados were really concerned about it. We've now had an interpretation coming from the minister and other people, including the former police officer. I remain firm in the view that there has been a state of confusion over it. No, the question is whether we have clarified the confusion. The police now put out a statement saying that a driver doesn't have to exit the vehicle to use a handheld device. The driver is permitted to draw up the vehicle in a safe manner on a road or a highway and make use of the cellular without infringing the Road Traffic Act. This matter has now been clarified.
Oh, okay, Mr. Ellis, I understand that. But what I am saying is that sometimes we need not create unnecessary confusion over some matters.
Who has created it?
Well, to me, it came from the police side, right? And I'm saying there may be two reasons for it. One is that the police was anxious to put it out the way they did because they are not included. If they were covered by this law, I don't think they would have been so anxious to do it. Because to me, when we talk about the spirit of the law, intended to keep people safe on the road to use their cell phones, I think the police should also have been covered by it too. Because if a police is using a cell phone, they may not even use it in the nature of the business. But if they're using the cell phone and knock down somebody or crash into you, like I've had a case with a police crashing into me using his too, I think that then they should be covered by the law too. Because within the police units, they have means of communication even with outside of a cellular phone. So I can't see why they should have been using the cellular phone. Either they should be covered by it too. So they're the ones who created the confusion in it all. And the other aspect of it, why you think it can be confusing too, is sometimes it's deliberate. Because everybody is trying to link every little thing at this point in time to politics. And if you can get it to be said that the government is the problem, that is where I think some people are going with this confusion, Mr. Ellis. Those are my two point of views as far as the confusion is concerned.
Of course, along the way, people can make genuine mistakes as well. Huh? But it is just because of the timing that people will affix a political label to it.
This is unfortunate because I mean, when I hear the guy give the explanation for the law, maybe the terms are clearly defined. I have no problem. I can't see where the police should have made that mistake at all. So I would blame the commissioner right there. Anyway, that's my contribution on that, Mr. Ellis.
Okay. So, David, will you now concede, in light of the admission by the police, that their man got it wrong, that former Constable Holder was perfectly right in his explanation of the act? The police have conceded. So, let's move on. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
Yeah, earlier you had stated, we heard the clarification and we are thankful for that, but earlier you had stated that all emergency vehicles would have to, like, could answer their telephone voice.
Yeah, they are exempt from this once doing their...
But most of the time, I don't want to be on the phone too long because I have the influenza and a cold and I wanted to put the question in your head.
You didn't want to spread it.
But I don't want you to hear me coughing. Okay. But these emergency vehicles, most of the time they always have a passenger sitting beside them and they could answer the phone also because these vehicles mostly are always speeding. And I won't see it fit for the chauffeur to be answering. But those people always have a passenger sitting next to them. But my question is, if you have a taxi driver or any vehicle driver driving, and they have a passenger beside them, can't they answer the telephone for the chauffeur? Because I feel in mind that they could. But I don't know if that is the law against doing that also. And one more thing, you could answer that, but one more thing. What is happening to Barbados? You mean if someone is very ill and an ambulance is coming to help the sick person or the person that could be dying, you mean now the ambulance people are going to get killed too? What is going on in Barbados, Mr. Ellis? I am very, very saddened by what is happening. Thank you, and
that's
I will listen
stuff.
To you.
I agree with you. This person says the government of Barbados has found a perfect way to distract the populace of Barbados from the important issue of elections by having them engaged in a nonsensical argument over a badly crafted piece of legislation that anyone with a modicum of common sense would know would cause confusion. What a strategy, says this person. What else? This one says, you hate to admit when you are wrong. You owe the former cop an apology. Apology for what? I don't know, owe him an apology for anything. He has he gave his opinion. And in the circumstances, clearly there was a difference of opinion up to the point where the police came to concede where they stood. And, you know, nobody was knocking what he was saying. What we said quite clearly was that there were two opinions on the matter, so I don't understand why that must be interpreted as knocking the man. It in no way knocks him. It just recognizes that there were two different interpretations associated with what the law was saying. Down to brass tacks.
Hello.
You're welcome. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Yes, I just want to make an observation. I don't know if you could clarify. With regards to the implementation now of having a helmet, whether you are a bicyclist or a motorcyclist, does the law go specifically dealing with, I know the talk about a chin strap must be attached, but does the law go specifically with how the helmet is worn?
I don't know exactly.
Okay,
the details,
for example, you will have some people where they ride and they have a tremendous amount of hair, like locks or braids, whatever. And in a lot of instances, the helmet, if they're wearing one, is actually mostly on the hair as opposed to the head. So how would that be addressed in this law?
Somebody will have to answer that for you. I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that.
All right, but thanks a lot, Ms. Taylor.
Okay. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad, either. I think I'm about to join the school.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get on, too. And I'm glad to know that Sean did get on, because I am in the same street as Sean.
The police have already put out a statement on this, though.
Yeah. I didn't hear it because
the police said the driver is permitted. A driver does not have to exit the vehicle to use a handheld device. The driver is permitted to draw up the vehicle in a safe manner on a road or a highway and make use of the cellular without infringing the Road Traffic Act.
All right, I want to make two small ones. The law pertaining to motor vehicle road traffic must be clear. It must not be left for interpretation.
Is that one clear?
Clear. Yeah, that's clear. I found it to be clear. You know, sometimes people got different interpretations. You would read one thing, pick one side, and then I read it and say another side. So I'm in agreement. But I have a little problem here. I think that some discretion should be used in the case of the bicyclists and their helmets, because right now they're not helmets in the island. And I think they should give them a grace period, at least.
Oh, they're no helmets?
They're no helmets, right place, one place. I'll call the names. I know two places that sell out because they got friends of mine that want helmets. And you can't find helmets around the place. They were around $70 and $80, and you can't find them within the last 3 days.
Wow.
So I think what it should come now, the minister or somebody should come and say, well, all right, let us give them a grace period, or even the police for maybe a month or so, or 2 months, because it's sudden. And a lot of guys really not listen to these all them programs, you know. I've been telling people, there's people out there in these dead eyes and things, and walking about and really don't listen to these calling programs. And I think that we need to extend that bit a little for those persons who don't have any. Okay, now you got guys ready. You know, you're a Spring Garden. You can read about still on Spring Garden. I see people doing it. One of the things that bother me, too, every three persons walking the road now have two things stick in their ear and a cell phone in their hand. If you blow a horn, they don't even hear. Sometimes it's the body still walking in the road. And that is one of the things that believe that they should even examine that side of it. What do you think?
I think that's reasonable.
If you go, I even want you having one. I don't mind having one in here, because I mean that really motivates you to go a little faster. But then you are on the main road, on a road. I don't mean off road and the stadium and them places. But people, everybody in town are walking and stepping in the road. You blow on and hear nothing. And even so, if something is coming at you, you can't hear it from. Yeah, you can hear noise coming if you don't have these things stuck in your ear. And these guys are one of the things they need to look at. But again, the law must be clear. It must be made clear. It must be precise. What? It must not be left for any interpretation. It has to be clear. Wherever the law goes, it should be clear. That's my thing on it. But I think that it was long and coming. It was there for years now. They were looking at it along with other things. And I believe that people, are you hearing anybody talking about these handicaps? Look, I'm so glad for that, because you have people coming and parking handicapped. It's a third of the handicap. Yeah, I like handicap to you. All those things happen. I'm glad for these.
I think that was necessary. That particular law was necessary in Barbados for quite a while. But you know, somebody else wrote to me in here and said they can bring these laws, but they don't bring laws relating to corruption and stuff like that. They got people who feel that they got some other things that they should also have been looking at, but they have been staving them off, you know?
I mean, they're going to come in and spend it happy.
Perhaps.
Because the government changed, it'll be DRB, it's going to change. But maybe those will come. All right, thank you, God bless.
The fellas suggesting that going for the low-hanging fruit. Down with the brass tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
My question is, I have a car radio. When I get in my car, I turn on my Bluetooth on my phone, and if my phone rings while I'm driving, it automatically connects to the radio, and say I press the button and I can't speak through my car set.
Yeah.
Is that illegal? Is that one of these things that are illegal?
No, not from what I am gathering.
Okay.
Once you're hands-free, once you're speaking to the phone in a hands-free mode, you're okay from what I've seen.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Good. Hello? Down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mr. Ellis, I have a problem here. Clarification. I am a tenant in one of the government estate houses, right?
Yeah.
I passed my 20 years. I take 3 years then to clear my arrears. And went into housing in November and clear for everything. Now I get in, I went to them and asked them a question. And I get in bills, rent bills saying I own rent. They tell me that Urban or Welfare clear my rent. I produce my documents and show them that Welfare did not, not Urban, did not clear my arrears. The people still tell me yes. I still selling me bills for rent that I no longer owe.
So you need to make the strongest representation on this. You have you written? You wrote to them?
I went back in the way, so I got to go and get a lawyer to write those people because they keep selling me every month, selling me bills saying I own their rent. I cleared everything in November. I went to the bank, get the money, clear half of the rent, and then went back and the end of November, I get yet a half from credit union.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that if you feel that you have been wronged by the corporation, you have to, you know, write to them. You need to press them on this because you don't want to feel unfair at the end of the day, you know.
And that is how I feel it now.
You don't want that. You perhaps need to take it a bit further.
I will try and take it a little further and see what they because then tell me that if
you got your you have all the documentation to prove that you
paid.
Yes,
from last November.
Right. So what you do is that you get copies of what you've gotten from them.
And I give them the copies already. I had a producer who paid the $500. And I went to the bank and get the money, come back and pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that document, and then I went.
No, well, if you have the information, come. You just put it in writing, and indicate to them that in the circumstances you're not required to pay any money.
Okay.
Because somebody inside there might not be as honest as they ought to be, or they might make a genuine error. Okay. Well, that's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thank you all for joining us. And look forward to being with you next week, sometime next week. Not so sure exactly which day, but for sure on Friday, I'll be with you next week. Until then, do take care of yourselves.